Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
All indicators of American religiosity are either stable or declining, but the decline is slow, and Americans remain very religious by world standards.
I don't know how much God has to do to get the attention of the politicians. We've had an earthquake, we've had a hurricane. He said, are you going to start listening to me here? Listen to the American people.
With relatively few exceptions, the mass media tend to cover these disputed issues with a combination of ignorance, laziness, and bias against traditional Christian beliefs.
Every word of law, every damning exclamation is given to you for a purpose, to damn you to death, to kill you, to crucify you, and drive you to Jesus.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
How important, how relevant is a presidential candidate's religious beliefs to his fitness, his qualification for holding that the highest office in the United States? Has the press asked and answered the right questions of the broad field of candidates, especially now the GOP candidates who are assembling, to figure out what they believe and whether or not it matters? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 1st of September. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Sarah Pulliam Bailey will join us here for the first few minutes of this hour to talk about a New York Times Magazine column on the religious faith of the GOP presidential candidates. We'll also talk a little bit about how the media is covering in advance 9/11 anniversary events. After that, we're going to be talking about Joshua with Dr. Nathan Jastrom of Concordia University, Wisconsin. Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org, and she's online editor for Christianity Today magazine. Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You've written recently about a New York Times Magazine column from editor Bill Keller. He claims in the column, after kind of laying out the beliefs of the various candidates, that he doesn't really care what they believe. Is that true?
Well, what's funny is he does make that argument where he says, I honestly don't care if Mitt Romney wears Mormon undergarments beneath his Gap skinny jeans. But what's funny about that column is that by writing about it, he's indicating that he does actually care, and he really wants to probe the Republican candidate's religious beliefs. And how he does it, how he executes those questions, came across very poorly to a lot of readers. So it was a fun column to read, but also kind of embarrassing for the New York Times, I think.
One issue of fact that I think really needs to be pointed out, because facts are kind of the first thing we should be checking out, regardless of who's writing the column, is he seems to count Rick Santorum, not one of the front runners, but obviously a recognizable name, as an evangelical.
Exactly. He said Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, and Rick Santorum are all affiliated with fervored subsets of evangelical Christianity. Well, Rick Santorum is actually Roman Catholic, so he would not consider himself an evangelical. He might have evangelical tendencies or beliefs, but he probably would not describe himself as an evangelical. So it was a funny factual error in a portion of his column where he wants to separate fact from fiction, and so he made an error. And the New York Times did correct that error after, I think, a full day of having that online. But there were a couple of things in that column that were surprising that, you know, basic facts didn't get checked or certain wording was put in that was confusing to us.
When I was looking at the column itself, it had the tone of, say, Jon Stewart doing a bit of parody where, you know, claiming not to care, he was taking the opportunity to cast the religious beliefs of the various candidates in the most humorous possible light. But that's hardly serious journalism.
Sure. And we should keep in mind that this is not just a column or just someone's beliefs. This is the editor-in-chief of the New York Times, so he in some ways directs the editorial vision of the paper. And we should also note that he is actually leaving as editor. He'll be a more of a columnist, and someone else will take his place this month. But it's very revealing. You kind of have this sense that the New York Times has felt this way, but here it is on paper, and so that was a little bit startling. For instance, he starts off the column by comparing those people with strong religious beliefs to those who have beliefs in aliens. And so, again, to start off a column that way is pretty startling.
Is he even-handed? I mean, does he deal in the column with the religious beliefs of all the candidates in the same way, and including the one on the Democratic side, which would be the incumbent president?
Well, first of all, I should say we want reporters to ask candidates tough questions about their faith. It's not a question of should they or should they not ask questions about religion. We want that. At the same time, we do want to see publications asking even-handed questions, as you say, to both Barack Obama and the Republican candidates. You might argue that, well, we've kind of been there, done that for President Obama a couple of years ago when we talked about his pastor, Jeremiah Wright, and his former pastor, that is, and his upbringing, and then his conversion to Christianity. So there has been a lot written about President Obama, but the New York Times certainly was not in the forefront of those questions and answers. And I wonder if Bill Keller thinks that maybe they can reverse course, but it comes across poorly to people feeling like he's only directing these questions to the Republican candidates. So it doesn't feel very even-handed, I think, to most readers.
One question that I think we would agree is altogether legitimate and, in fact, necessary is how does your faith influence, or how will your faith influence policies? Does that question really get asked or answered in Keller's column?
I think that's a great question. I think that's one of the main points we can kind of take away from this column is what kinds of questions are we asking and what are they accomplishing? For instance, the question to Michelle Bachmann about whether she was being submissive to her husband, this was brought up in a Republican debate a couple of weeks ago. That was a question that she had brought up related to something she had brought up in a previous speech, but it's not clear that it necessarily influences her in her policy. We have seen her as a congresswoman, how she carries herself, how her husband influences her career, and we have no reason to think that would necessarily change if she were to become president. So Keller's questions, some of them touch on how it would influence policy, but at the same time, some of it is more about whether they would agree with dominionism and other things, these terms that there's not as much of a clear connection between the beliefs and whether it would influence them if they became president. And the other thing is that some of these questions have already been answered. He asks, would you have any hesitation about appointing a Muslim to the federal bench? What about an atheist? Those questions were asked to Michelle Bachmann, for instance, and other candidates have addressed them in other arenas. So it's kind of like, Bill Keller, come on, we've already talked about these, and it's not like they're hiding these beliefs. That's partly why the column was strange.
Turning to another subject that you've written on recently, and that is, it's being called a ban, but it's not really a ban, but Mayor Bloomberg in New York is planning memorial events for 9/11, and the clergy are not going to be invited. What do you make of the coverage of that plan and of 9/11 memorials in general lately?
Sure. Well, so the Wall Street Journal published a piece, I believe it was last Wednesday, it was leading up a couple of days before Hurricane Irene. So they published this piece explaining how formal prayers and clergy will not be included in this official event. And CNN did a nice follow-up story to explain some more of the details and past precedent, how have they handled prayers and things in the past, and it was really nicely done. What I think happened was that the coverage kind of got drowned out by some of the Hurricane Irene coverage, and so we haven't heard as much. I think it's starting to pick up. I've seen a couple of stories since then. But I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't seen more coverage on this memorial. There will be other memorials, of course, but this is the main event that people are very, you know, it will likely be televised and people will probably pay attention to across the nation. So it is interesting to see who is and who isn't invited.
Finally on that, with only about 30 seconds here, mm-hmm. has the press adequately examined Bloomberg's claim that at least the Ground Zero 9/11 memorial is, quote, not political?
I thought that was a funny statement. He said this cannot be political. Well, by incorporating political leaders, it is political. And by not inviting other clergy and other kinds of people, it is a political event no matter what. And that's how the media will likely frame it.
Sarah Pulliam Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org, online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend the remainder of this hour of Issues Etc. with you and with Dr. Nathan Jastrom, talking about one of the towering figures of the Old Testament, second only to Moses and following Moses, Joshua, son of Nun. He begins, we're first introduced to him as a servant of Moses, as one of the spies. When the people are waiting to enter the promised land, eventually he will lead God's people as Moses' successor over the Jordan on dry land, just as they came out of Egypt on dry land. He will lead them in, and he will begin a time of, what shall we call them? Although Joshua is a judge, he will begin a time of judges in Israel. These military leaders whose primary responsibility is to lead God's people in God's word, but also to lead God's people in war. His name, Joshua, he shares with another famous New Testament character, Jesus himself. We'll talk about Joshua. Dr. Nathan Jastrom will be our guest after this.
Been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog, exchange recipes, or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Independent and in the black for 3 years and running. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.